Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, Chapter 1, Text 339. Yesterday we were discussing how Vishwambhara Mahaprabhu has again absorbed himself in Krishna consciousness or feeling a deep mood of separation from Krishna in Radhabhav. And now he's again slipped back into this mood of teaching his students again all about Krishna, which he had done previously. And then they complained to the dean of the school. They complained to Gangadas, the guru of Nimai, that your student is not acting properly. He's telling you everything, all Sanskrit, everything is Krishna. So then Vishwambhara rectified himself and again started teaching the sutras appropriately from the material viewpoint. But then he met Ratnagarbha Acharya, and Garbhacharya was a Premi Bhakta absorbed in Bhagavat Ras, and he spoke some shlokas from Bhagavat which plunged Vishwambhara deep into the ocean of separation from Krishna, and again he entered into this deep mood of Krishna consciousness. And when he again started teaching his students Sanskrit, it was all about Krishna. So this is where we are in the story. So in his teaching them about Krishna, now he's not even teaching the Sanskrit about Krishna. Now he's simply giving Sambandha Gyan, which he gave. Now at this juncture of the conversation, he's giving them Avideya Gyan, right? Avideya Tattva. He's teaching them how to practice bhakti. First he was teaching them about Krishna and the position of Krishna and themselves. Now he's, last couple of verses, first he introduces teaching of Avideya Tattva by saying that bhakti is the way. And now he's been telling them about Shravanam and Kirtanam. Yesterday he talked about Archanam. And now he's talking about Smaranam. So he's actually giving a whole summary of the Navaveda Bhakti to his Sanskrit students, absorbed in his mood of Audarya. After plummeting into the ocean of Madhurya in the association of Ratnagarbha Acharya, he surfaced in that ocean. He came to the surface of that ocean and started to ride the waves of Audarya and distribute the nectar in the form of teaching to prepare his students also to relish the sweetness of Madhurya Bhav. But first he's giving them a strong foundation of Sambandha Gyan and Navideya. Putra Budhi Chari Ajamila Se Samaran Chalila Vaikuntha Bhaja Se Krishna Charan. Vishwambhara Mahaprabhu said to his Sanskrit students, Shishigan, By giving up thoughts of his son, as he remembered the holy name of the Supreme Lord, Ajamila attained Vaikuntha. Therefore, worship the lotus feet of Krishna, Vaja Krishna Charan. So he's citing an example from Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Brahman, sixth canto, and Saraswati Thakur's purport. Although the most sinful Ajamila first uttered the name Narayan, referring to his son, as soon as he gave up thoughts of his son as the object of enjoyment and simultaneously remembered that the sound vibration of Narayan is not different from Narayan, he immediately attained liberation due to the influence of Namabhas resulting from remembering Krishna. He was then able to enter the kingdom of Vaikuntha, which is transcendental beyond the reach of the senses, beyond the jurisdiction of Maya. So this is like a lightning fast transaction here. Like in computers, you press one button and so many things happen. So initially when the Yamadutas approached Ajamil to take him to hell because of his life of sin, in great fear, he called out to his son, because he had been calling his son so many times over the last, I don't know how old the son was, but a few years, I suppose. And he was calling his son with parental love and just thinking of it, Narayan means my son. What happens so fast, so he's remembering his son, so when he chanted Narayan one time, he only chanted once, Narayan, he was thinking of his son out of fear, seeing Yamaduta, so he called Narayan. So the thought went to his son, but then the next thought in a second was, he thought of his son, but then the next thought was he thought of God. Because he also had samskaras to remember God and to chant God's name. Because before he met the prostitute and fell out with her for so many 80 years or something, he would chant Narayan's name and think of God. So this all happened like in like splits of second. He said, Narayan, my son. Narayan, God. So Narayan, his son, was only once. He only said Narayan, but he thought son. Then next thought, he thought, he said, Narayan, my son. But then nothing happened. The Yamadutas were still there. Because he had all that sun scars. They call it Narayan means his son. But he also had sun scars in his chitta that Narayan means God. So what happened is the brain in a super fast binary computer, it went from the sun scar to sun, which is Maya, and keep you here. And then it immediately dipped into the sun scar for Narayan means God, which is only one name. And he thought of God, and then the Yamadutas left. That's what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is saying. So that became Namabhas. That name, like half the name, it's only Narayana, Narayana. So Nara part of it was Namaparad, and Ayana was Namabhas. But that was enough, Ayana, to Vamus. The Yamadutas Vamus, they left. And so then he was saved. And so now he continued on the line of those Purva sanskaras. And then after he was saved, the Yamadutas left, he said, whew, that was a close one. Okay. And then he said to little Narayan, goodbye. Goodbye, Mrs. Narayan and my wife. And then he went to Haridwar and he did Nam Bhajan. And then he attained Vaikuntha. So this is what's being said here in this purport. Janara Charana Sevi Shiva Digambar Ye Charana Sevi Bari Lakshminar Adhar. Vishnubhara Mahaprabhu continued. While serving Sankarshan. While serving Sankarshan's lotus feet, Lord Shiva goes about naked. The service of those feet is desired by Lakshmi. So, in the previous verses we had heard how the Lord was talking about Shravanam and Kirtanam and some Smaranam, and now he's talking about Padasevanam. This is the progression of the nine limbs of devotion given in Bhagavatam by Prahlad Maharaj. So in his own summary way, giving a summary course, this is the first VIG course. Vishwambhara Mahaprabhu is giving a summary course here, a crash course in Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojan to his Sanskrit students, because he really wants to do udar, welfare for them. After teaching them Naya and Vyakaran, now he wants to give them, which is Vidya, now he wants to give them Paravidya. So now he's talking about Padasevanam, which means serving the lotus feet of Krishna. Bhaja Krishna Charane, serve the lotus feet of Krishna. Then again, now he says, well, you should serve the lotus feet of Krishna. The next thing is, well, why? And who's done it? What's the big deal? And what are those lotus feet? Oh, you don't know. You're so much studying Sanskrit and Aya, you don't know. Well, let me tell you. Those feet... You've heard of Lord Shiva? Oh yeah, I've heard of Shiva. He's pretty famous here in India. Well, that's why he's gone crazy, because he's worshipping those feet of Sankarshan. His Ishadeva Sankarshan. And it's Krishna also. Krishna's expansion, Sankarshan. Ananta Shesh. So he's worshipping those feet, and by worshipping those feet, going naked. What is going naked? Does going naked mean he's streaking? Like the college students used to take off their clothes and streak across the campus in the 70s. It's called streaking. Does it mean that he's an exhibitionist? No. What does it mean, naked? It means he has no attachments. That's what it means, naked. Digamra means he has no material attachments. So he says, you know Shiva? Yes, I've heard of Shiva. Students, you've heard of Shiva? Yes. Om Namo Shivaya, Bam Bam Bole. Well, he's not even attached to clothes. You may be a great yogi, but at least you wear a langoti. You may be a Brahmavadi, or you may be a whatever, but you're wearing something, a kopin or a langoti. But he's not wearing anything. He's not even attached to clothes. And how did he get to this exalted position of detachment? By Sri Bhaja Krishna Charani. Bhaja Krishna Charani, by worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna in the form of Sankarshan, who is Vishnu. And what more about those feet? What more about those feet of Krishna? And you've heard of Lakshmi? Oh, students, have you heard of Lakshmi Devi? You heard? You have that poster in your house, right? Lakshmi, Saraswati, Durga. The three Devis, one showering the coins, and one sitting on the lion, and one's playing the Veena, right? And you do your puja every night. Oh, please bless me, Saraswati. I can learn these, all these sutras and all these dhatus of Sanskrit, right? Well, that Lakshmi who's showering the coins in the poster, she's aspiring, she's endeavoring and doing tapasya to attain a seva of those lotus feet. Ye charana sevi bhare Lakshmir adar. Adar. Adar means she has great regard. Adar. She's praying. Adar. She has great respect. Adar. She's, oh, when will I attain that fortune, those lotus feet? And the students are saying, really? Those feet are like that? Bhaja Krishna charane? These are the feet you're talking about? That Shiva has left everything in this world, all attachments, everything, simply by worshipping those feet? Simply by one limb of bhakti, padasevanam? Such exalted state of consciousness and life he's attained. And Lakshmi has given up all her wealth, all her everything. She's sitting in Baalvan eating khichdi under a bale tree, and she only gets khichdi 4 times a year. The rest of the year she eats bilvapatra and Jamuna jal. And she's doing such austerities to attain a seva of Krishna's feet. Really? Vishambhara, it's like that. Oh, this bhakti is so powerful, because he introduced this whole thing of Abhideya by saying you should bhakti yoga. This is the best way, this is the best activity you should perform, bhakti yoga. That was 9 verses before. Now he's explaining, what is this bhakti yoga, my dear students? So they say, okay, now we understand more. Then the next question the students ask, well, how do we do it? How do we worship those feet that Shiva has attained and Lakshmi, Shiva has attained them? And he's had such transformation. Lakshmi's yet to attain them. She's trying to attain them. And you're encouraging us to try to attain, to serve them. I mean, how do we do it? How can we serve those feet? Ananta ye charana, ananta ye charana mahima gunagai, dante trina kari bhaja hena krishna pai. Trina. Danta trina. Trinadapi sunichena tarari vasaheshana amanina amanidena kirtinisvara. Danta Trina. What is Danta? It means dentist. Danta means you go to the Danta. It means you go to the dentist. Dental work comes from Sanskrit, Bengali, Danta. We should become all, we should all Krishna's Kaviraj is saying that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas should become dentists. Right? He's telling everyone in chapter 20, Auntie Lula, you should all become dentists and string this shloka around your necks for constant remembrance. All you dentists out there, Trinada Pisuni Chenava. You should be humbler than a blade of grass. You should danta, hold a trina between your teeth and become a dentist. A little humor is also good. Right, Chava? Huh? Don't be too serious. He's very serious, which is good. It's making me more sober. I need a shot of sobriety. Dante Trina Kari Bhaja Krishna Pai. He says, Ananta Charana Mahima Gunagai. These feet are glorified by Ananta. Charana Mahima Gunagai. He's singing Ananta. First, he already mentioned Ananta in the previous verse. Ananta Shesh is the Ishta of Shiva. So it's very interesting what he's saying, if you think about it. He's saying, Shiva's given up everything in this material world, and he's going around naked, while serving his lotus feet. Who's serving? Whose lotus feet? He just says his here. Janhara Chanana Sevi, Shiva, Digambara. He's become totally attached. The only attachment he has is the wind. Wind around his body, that's his clothes. Digambara, the directional wind. He's covered umbara by the dig, the directions, the wind. So who is that him or he that he's worshipping? Now in this verse he's saying, yes, and that Lord, the Lord of Shiva, Ananta, what is he doing? He's glorified. He's also engaged in the service of Krishna's feet. Because Balaram's greatest Sevananda is to serve Krishna. He's absorbed in Sevananda. That's in Adi 5. Talking about Balaram and Nittai. And Balaram is Sevananda. He's absorbed in the bliss of serving Krishna. So that Ananta, he's glorifying, that Ananta Shesh is glorifying the gun. Guy means singing. He's singing the qualities. The Charana Mahima Gun Gai. Charana, the Mahima, the glories, the fame of the Charan, of Krishna's Charan. He's singing about it. Is he singing about it with one mouth? How many mouths? He's only singing the glories of Krishna's feet with one mouth? How many mouths? Thousands of mouths. Anantamukh. And so not only in this verse is he answering the student's question of how do we serve those lotus feet, but he's saying that you should with great humility, Danta Trina, you have to approach these lotus feet with great humility. And although we have no adhikar, these feet are being worshipped and the glories of these feet are being sung by Ananta with its thousands of mouths. But anyway, knowing how exalted and how great these feet of Krishna are, these feet of Krishna means devotional service. This is part of sevanam. It's a devotional service. How much humility must be there, and how much adar, how much regard we should have for bhakti itself or herself. So then Mahabhu says, Yavat achaye pran dehi achaye shakti tavat karaha krishna para tavat karaha krishna para padme bhakti. Vishwar Mahabhu said, as long as there is life and strength in the body, you should render devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna. So obviously, these answers or these shlokas spoken by the supreme teacher of humanity, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, are in response to the questions of the students. The questions aren't listed here, and even if they were listed, maybe they're not spoken. Because you don't, not only do you have to phrase a question with your words, you can phrase a question with your eyes or with your face. So he's telling the students, you should serve these glorious feet of Krishna with great humility. And then they're asking the question, they're saying, well, how long do we have to serve them? Because these students are coming from a background of karmakandya. These students are coming from a background of jnana, upasana. They're jnanis, they're pundits. And they're born in this culture of Navadvipa 500 years ago, which was pervaded by karmakandya and all kinds of pujas. So in karmakandya, there's a start and there's an end, finish. You start the yajna and you finish. You start the tapa and you finish. Chandrayana brat, Chaturmasi brat, so many brats. And then when you finish, you get the result. It begins and it ends. Because this is what's happening in this material world. Everything has a beginning and end. So this karma kandya and this jnana, it's all in this world. It's all material. For material results, most of it. So they're thinking, okay, Vishambhar, so if we humbly approach these feet and we serve them, then how long do we have to do it? For a month or 2 months or what? And it's just we give a little bit of our energy to it, or we do a little bit in the morning. And he's saying, pran dehi achi shakti, Krishna pada padme bhakti. He's saying, what is he saying? He says, as long as you have any pran in your body, if there's a drop of pran, life, essence in your body, and any strength, any shakti, pran and shakti. Shakti means power, and pran means the psychic ability, or you can say the life energy, or the life force to implement or utilize that power. You may have shakti, but without pran, you can't express the shakti. So he's telling both. He's saying, your pran, whatever, if there's any pran or any shakti left in your body, you should use that to serve Krishna. Render devotional service to Krishna. So the answer is, forever. As long as you're existing, for you serve Krishna. Oh my God! What is this stuff? This bhakti is something heavy. There's no beginning. I mean, it doesn't end. It goes on and on. Today, tomorrow. Well, no vacation, no chuti. What is this? I mean, we do some yajna. We do a 7-day yajna or a 30-day yajna or a 3-month yajna, 90-day puja. This, but we know there's some end at light at the end of the tunnel, and we finish. It's 90 days of rigorous. Every day we have to organize a puja and a yajna for 90 days and. We know that, okay, 89 days, and we're scratching on our calendar, 75, 40, and we get to the end. And then we offer that final ablution, swaha, after 90 days. But you're telling us every day, with every ounce of energy and all our shakti and our prana, hare baba. So when he said that, And with all your prana and all your shakti, their jaws dropped. So seeing that, then he wanted to grind in the philosophy even deeper into their hearts. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan, Charane Dariya Bali, Krishna Dehaman. Listen, you puggles. This Krishna, this bhakti, this seva, this feet of Krishna. Krishna is your everything. He's your mother, your father, your life, your wealth, your pran, your dan. And then they're thinking, wow, he's really asking a heavy demand here. And he sees that they're not so encouraged to accept his teachings and follow his instructions. So then the teacher adopts a very humble position. Charane dharane bali, Krishna dehaman. The guru is telling them, just like Nittai did the same thing from door to door with Haridas. Guru Nittai, the Adi Guru. So the Adi Guru, Gauranga, he says, Charane dharaya bali. He says, I fall at your feet. Charane dharaya means I take your feet and I hold your, oh my dear students, I hold your feet on my head and I beg you, bali krishne deha man, to engage your mind in thinking of Krishna. So now he's begging them. First he's instructing them and giving them sambandha and abhideya and illuminating them. Now he says, I beg you with all humility, I take your feet and hold them on my head, my dear students, but please always think of Krishna. He's everything. You don't need your mother, you don't need your father, you don't need any wealth, you don't even need your pran, you don't need anything. If you have Krishna's feet enshrined in your heart and your mind, you can die right now and you'll live forever with him. You don't need anything. I beg you, please. So this is the ideal preacher. As Prabhupada said, the courage of a British soldier and the heart of a Bengali grandmother. So you have to be a Bengali to know what that means. At any rate, heart of a Bengali grandmother means very compassionate, very loving, caring. Dedicated, surrendered. So you see Mahaprabhu. And then Siddhanta Saraswati quotes the verse which our Srila Prabhupada was very favorite of his, Dante Trina, another verse is in his shloka book, Dante Trina, from Chaitanya Chandramita to verse 90. Taking a straw, this is Kavi Karnapur, taking a straw in my teeth, I fall at your feet hundreds of times and implore you with sweet words saying, O noble soul, please throw out everything you have learned and cultivate attachment to the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga. So Prabhupada tells that this is the system of preaching. Srila Prabhupada, who quoted this verse, it's a very long verse. It starts off, Dante Trina. And Prabhupada said, yes, we go up to the learned, and then Prabhupada was explaining, we go up to any learned gentleman. And Prabhupada narrated this on the tape. He said, we go up to some materialistic person, non-devotee, and we glorify him. We say, my dear sir, you are a very cultured man of this community. And the person says, yes. And I can see that you're very, very learned. You're very, very educated, highly educated, very learned. And then the man says, yes. And each time you glorify him, his chest goes out a little bit more, and he stands up a little straighter. And I can see that you're highly respected in this town, in this village. Everyone looks up to you and has great respect. Yes, yes, yes. Now he's about to blow up. He's so proud and so happy and satisfied. Then he may look and say, son, what is it do you want? Do you want something? I mean, it seems, well, there's just one small request I have. I said, yes, yes, don't be shy. No, I just want to ask you one thing. Well, don't mind. I, whatever. Don't be shy. I, whatever you want, I'll do. My dear sir, please forget everything you've ever learned and surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. So this is Prabhupada explains in, like this, and paraphrase, and of course quoting this verse in its full Sanskrit. So here, this is similar. This is what Lord Chaitanya is saying. He's Dante Trina. He's holding that figurative straw in between his teeth, which means his mind is saturated with humility. It's not necessary. We could also do, but the real thing is not the holding the straw between the teeth, which would be the adibhotika consideration, but the adiatmika, or more subtle consideration, or from our viewpoint, is that we saturate our minds and hearts with great humility, and only when our hearts and minds are saturated with great humility and appreciation and love for others can we effectively go forth and preach the message of divine love which Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has come to this world to give. So this is the whole process of devotion, is to learn the art of saturating the heart. Learn the art of saturating the heart with genuine humility. So that's why when you join the temple, everyone joins the temple like a wild stallion, like a wild Mustang, is a type of horse in Wyoming. Wyoming runs around quite wild, and they have to be tamed. Somehow or other, if you can throw a rope around his neck, that's a good start. And then good luck after that. Because if he doesn't kick you in the head and send you to Hades, and you still get by, then you try to get a bit. Finally, you bring him back and starve him for a while till he gets weak. You bring him back to your corral and starve him for a week or two till he loses his strength. Then you throw a bridle on him. You throw a bit in his mouth. And then you can start to control him. So bhaktas, and as Prabhupada said, bhaktins, which only exist in ISKCON, but anyway. new devotees, be they men or women, they're like wild horses, and they have to be broken, as they say. Their wild ways have to be reformed. So the temple commander says, do this and do that and clean this and chop that and wash this and wash that. And what do we say? No, no, no. Because I am big, bigger, biggest. I means false ego. So until the false ego is cracked, there's no possibility to make progress, sufficient progress in devotional line, and what to speak of be an effective preacher. So Lord Chaitanya obviously is setting example here as being the ideal pracharak or preacher, which is one of the missions that he's come to establish by his life's example. And this applies to all of the aspiring preachers. Charane dharya bali krishne dehaman. I fall at the feet of the people I'm preaching to, and I beg them to please engage their minds in thinking of Krishna. So now Vrindavan Das Thakur, this leela is concluded now. This teaching of Sambandha Gyan and Abhideya at this installment has concluded now between the Sanskrit Shishyagan of Vishwambar and himself. And Vrindavan Das Thakur speaks here. Jasya bhave kahe prabhu apana mahima hoila prahara dui tabu nahi sima. In the mood of a servant, Dasya Bhav, right? The Bhav, the mentality, the feeling, the heart's position of the servant. Dasya Bhav, Prabhu, Apana Mahima. The Lord continually narrated his own glories until half the day had passed. So in response to your question, how does the Lord get pleasure from hearing his glories or hearing his holy name or any service? We see that he spends half the day glorifying himself. And what is Mahaprabhu doing when Mahaprabhu goes to Puri for 6 hours a day, engages in Nam Sankirtan? Whose name? His name. How many chants of names? He goes into ecstasy. Wow, what? Hariharaya Namakrishna. Oh, wow, Hariharaya. Namakrishna. Hey, that's me. Hari. Of course, what that it may externally look, it's certainly Bhagavan Nam, but when it's taken from the viewpoint of Radharani, which is the internal, the Adiatmic conception, the Adibodha conception of looking at that, the external is it, that Bhagavan is chanting his own names, and when you want to take that point to establish some tattva, then you can. But there's three levels to understand every verse or every pastime. So, you know, from our viewpoint, from the subtle viewpoint, or from his viewpoint, so therefore it's, the Acharyas use that example, and they, which is what I'm repeating here, that the Lord enjoys relishing hearing and chanting about his own names, which he did in Puri. Hariharaya nama Krishna yadavaya madavaya keshavaya nama. So he's saying yadavaya keshavaya. He's saying keshavaya. So it's Keshav, the killer of the Keshi demon. It's Krishna nam. So Bhagavan, Mahaprabhu, is glorifying Krishna nam. But if, now that's the Bhautika consideration, but if you take it from the Daivika consideration, Adi Daivika consideration, from, and then from us, it's, well, how it applies to us, it's Adiatmika, whatever. But you take it from his viewpoint, his means her. Because when Mahaprabhu is in Puri, then Mahaprabhu is in Radhava. So now Radharani is chanting the name of her beloved. So Keshavaya doesn't mean the killer of the Keshi demon, it means that lover of mine who very expertly dresses my kesh, my hair, and Sringar Bhat in so many places. So there's so many levels that these, as Prabhupada told us, we should examine every verse of the Bhagavatam from all angles of vision. So the Acharyas have summarized three basic ones, Adiatmik Vichar, Adibhautik Vichar, Adiatmik, and Adidaivik Vichar. So the Rasik Vaishnavacharyas, they have 360 degree broadband vision, so they're able to see everything, and they extract the nectar and the teachings and the siddhanta and the ras, and they distribute it through the means of their tikas. And we, who can only see Adibhautika at best, we say, oh, wow, really? Oh, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur ki jai. Sanatana Goswami Pad ki jai. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. So they expand our vision. They give us 360 degree vision. Because on our own, if we read the Shastra, we have what they call tunnel vision. Tunnel vision. This is tunnel vision. Or we have maybe horse vision. And horse vision is like this. Kora Deki or whatever. They have these blinders on their eyes and they just see, they can't see peripherally. We'll finish this page. So apparently he went on with his teachings. This was not the conclusion, but this is all that's included here by Vrindavan Das. But the Lord went on all day glorifying Krishna. Mohita paduya sabha shune ekaman dui rukti karite karo na aise badan. The charmed students, Mohita paduya. Paduya means students or shishya. Mohit means mo. Mo means moha, illusion, bewildered, captivated, enchanted, or it's also a very nice word, charmed. They were charmed. Charmed also, you take a watch. That's called, you know, hypnotizing someone is also charming them. So they were charmed by the beautiful. The charmed students heard the Lord's explanations with rapt attention. Ekaman. When we listen to Hari Katha, we have so many minds. One mind's on lunch, one mind's on breakfast, one mind's on our shopping list, one mind's on my friends, one mind's on my mother, one mind's on. So it says, Ekaman, sub shune ekaman. Sub, everybody, sama, sub, shune, same as India, shunya. Listen, they heard. They listen, Ekaman. So this is interesting because in the Bhagavatam, the first canto, it says that the sages at Nisharanya, they were listening to Suta Goswami, Shonak and all the others, they were listening to Suta Goswami with rapt attention. Rapt attention. You could hear a pin drop, as they say. So this is a further elaboration of the concept of rapt attention means Ekman. And that's very, everyone can understand that. The ekman means concentration. For example, if you read an engrossing book, some like Srimad Bhagavatam, hopefully for the bhakta gan, that is the most engrossing or attractive, absorbing book. So if you're really reading the book and absorbed, ekman, when you're reading, someone comes in and says, hey Charu Krishna, Prasad's ready. You don't even hear them. Because if you're ekman, that means your mind is not going to your other senses. Your whole mind is going to your eyes. Your ears are going to your eyes. Your nose is going to your eyes. Your mouth is going to your eyes. Your tongue, your hand is going to your eyes. Otherwise, you're like, well, you know. That means part of your mind is going to your hand to make a move. Or the people that go like this, they shake their leg, right? That has a lot of different meanings. Some of them are not so good. Or other means like negative, like in the lower chakras also. But if the body's moving, that means the mind has to be behind it. The body doesn't move without the mind moving it. Right? Thinking, feeling, willing. Willing means action, kriya. There's no kriya without icha, and there's no icha without manana, thinking. So in concentration, everything shuts down. The eye, only the eye. If you're reading, then it, if it's hearing, then your eyes shut down. Your eyes shut down, your nose shuts down, your hands shut down, and all the mind goes to the ears. The whole mind is, that's called ekman jap, right? The whole mind is just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And some mind is going to move the mouth also. Otherwise you can't chant. So it's, you can say, but it's one activity. So the mind is absorbed. It's ekman because it's one activity. Hearing and chanting is one thing. But you know, we hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So your mind is spread all over your body, moving your arms, your legs, your fingers. You're scratching your head. You're scratching this, that. So the mind is all spread. But to me, ekman is like really focused. So that's how they heard the Lord. Because only if you're ekman can you become mohita. You can't become charmed by anything unless your mind is fixed on that. Something may be very charming, very enchanting, very captivating, some animal or some, but someone might say, look at that animal, and they become captivated and they see the purple neck and the green feathers and the red beak and they become totally stunned. And you look and say, what is that? Stupid pink bird or something. You know, all these tropical birds. Because you haven't fixed your mind on it, so you're not captivated. So we can't be captivated by Krishna's holy name or enchanted by Krishna's lila unless we fix our mind on it and shut out everything else. It's just basically the art of concentration. That's all the art of concentration means, shutting out everything else and fixing it on the mind, right? So that's what hearing means. So we are supposed to be an expert. You know, we are supposed to be samadhi experts. I one place he wrote an art of chanting. Why don't we... Has anyone ever tried once in their life trying to enter Nam Samadhi? Just try. I mean, actually, consciously try to enter Nam Samadhi. In other words, try to sit down for 5 minutes and say, I'm going to fully concentrate. I'm going to go in a dark room like Bhaktivinoda Thakura encourages us. I'm going to go someplace in the cellar or the basement, some super quiet place, and totally concentrate for 10 minutes on nothing but the holy name. And try my best to enter samadhi, my intelligence, all my thoughts, my mind, everything's fixed on the holy name. Have we ever even thought to enter Nam Samadhi? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, it's something we can think about. So they were charmed. Mohita Paduya, ek sabasunim. Dwi rukti karita karo isevaran. None of them dared to open their mouths. In other words, they weren't this time, although this has happened before, this time they weren't about to say. Because before, when Lord Chaitanya was teaching Sanskrit, Vishambhar was teaching Sanskrit, the students were, and then he broke into his Krishna reverie and started being absorbed in Krishna and speaking about Krishna. Then the students started passing comments. One comment they said is, well, he's acting like a mork. That's what they said. They said, our teacher's acting like a mork, like a fool. Then another student said, there's some disturbance in his life errors. There's a vayu, whatever it was, chanchals, whatever. These words are there. We covered this in class. You were here. So now the same thing has happened. Again, he's come back. He started teaching Sanskrit. And again, he's submerged in the ecstasy of separation from Krishna. And then he came out of that Madhurya sweetness and went into Audarya, the Audarya mode, and started teaching them and sharing these teachings with them and helping them come to the point of Madhurya. So now they're like, whoa, wait a minute. Because now they heard with rapt attention. Before, when he was going into his Krishna thing, they were just mocking him. They weren't really paying attention. Listen, what is he doing? He's becoming pago. He's like a morka. His air is disturbed. They were only thinking what they would say. And then they responded, because afterwards they went immediately to Gangadas and said, hey, in room 601, there's a guy teaching Sanskrit. He's crazy. They went to the dean of the school. The dean of the school is Gangadas Pandit. So you're in school and their teacher's speaking crazy. You go to the principal and say, this teacher's speaking crazy. He's saying, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. When we ask the question, what's the origin of Sanskrit? He said, Krishna. He said, what's the origin of the mantras? He said, Krishna. He said, what is this? What kind of school is this? It's supposed to be a non-sectarian Sanskrit college. There's not supposed to be any religion here in this school. It's Benares University. Who is this? This guy in 601 is Pandit Vishambar. He's like a crazy guy. That's what they did. They went to Gangadas. Because they weren't charmed by Mahaprabhu. They did not fix their minds on him. Now they ekman, they were charmed. They were mohita. Charmed to the point of like, they couldn't speak. They were like this. None of them dared to open their mouths. Karite karona, I say badane. Se sava krishnara das janiha nishchoy krishna janre parayena. Seki Anyahai. Vrindavan Das says, know for certain that they are all eternal servants of Krishna. When Krishna himself is teaching them, can they be anyone else? In other words, when the Lord descends to this world in his various descents, avatars, then he brings along his parishads or parikars to engage in Leela for the purpose of relishing and enjoying, relishing the sweetness of their association in different venue or different settings and times and places, and also for other purposes. Primarily, the Lord descends to teach. He has his internal purposes and external purposes. So externally, it's to teach us and to show us and to attract us and to benefit us and to help us. So that's what's going on. Katashane bhaya prakashila vishambar chahiyasa bharamukha lajita antar. After a while, Katashane, Vishambara manifested his external consciousness. So this whole Madhurya Leela and this whole Audharya Leela, it's all going on in antar chit, all going on internal consciousness. But when he starts to act as a Sanskrit teacher, that's all external consciousness. Because Audharya is also Leela. This is internal consciousness. So when he was in a mood of distributing the sweetness of Krishna to the students, then that was his Audarya Leela. Now he's coming to this Prakash. He's manifesting external. After a while, Vishambara manifested his external consciousness. He felt ashamed on seeing everyone's face there. Oh my God. First I show them my Madhurya and I submerge them. Prema Basila, Basila. I submerge them and drown them in my Madhurya Prema. Then coming to the surface of that, I toss them here and there with giving them Audarya, a stroke of compassion by glorifying Krishna and making him accessible and distributing Krishna to their ears by giving them some Sambandha and Avideya. But then now he came out again to Bahi, to Prakash Bahya, manifesting it. Oh, I think maybe they couldn't handle it. I don't think they could handle it. So then he felt Laja Antar. And internally, within himself, he felt some shyness. Prabhu Balai, here we go. This is a basic section of Chaitanya Bhagavad. It's always, the whole thing is so dramatic and so amazing. It could be such a beautiful play. There's a few scenes, there's four or five scenes. It could be like 2 hour, 1 hour. Drama. Prabhu Bali Datu Sutra Vakainulan Kena Paduya Sakali Bali Satya Arta Yena. He was saying, because this whole thing started because someone said, can you explain what is the meaning of Datu? So dhatu is a Sanskrit term about the words, the root, the mool, the root of the words. And he explained dhatu means the atma, dhatu means the material body, dhatu, and it's all sambandha. He is giving jiva, he gave jiva tattva and ishvara, and dhatu means Bhagavan, dhatu. So he gave jiva tattva, ishvara tattva, and then he went into avideya, and then he just heard Krishna. Now he's coming back. He said, oh, there's somebody asking about dhatu. Here's the translation. The Lord asked, how is my answer to your question about dhatu? How is my explanation of the sutras, Sanskrit sutras, on the dhatus? The students replied, Bhariya, bilkul. Satya artha, art. Your explanation, your art, it was satya, that was the truth. What you told us was the truth. This is the real meaning of dhatu. So now they're getting somewhere. So now, Mahabhu says, now he's totally in it, and again, now he's totally in his teacher bhav. Sanskrit Bhav. Yesh Vishnubhara continues. Yesh Shabde Ye Arta Tume Karila Vakan Kar Bhapetaha Kari Bhare Pare An. There is no one arrogant enough to deny the meaning of every word. Oh, excuse me. This is the students. There is no one arrogant enough to deny the meaning of every word that you have explained, Vishnubhara. In other words, Before, when you did this last time, we got on your case. We complained to Gangadas. We said you're morka. We said your life affairs are disturbed. But we're not going to mess with you now. And we're not about, oh no. We learned our lesson.